Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady. Today's message is entitled, The Ability for Stability. Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Hit somebody and tell them poverty is not of God. Say it again, poverty is not of God. Say it out loud, poverty is not. Say it until you hear it with your ears, poverty. It is not of God. Poverty is the brainchild of sin. Poverty is from the devil, and it is bad news, but I got some good news today. And the good news is the blood of Jesus that redeemed us from our sin is also the blood that brought us into prosperity. The same blood that brought you out of your mess brought you out of poverty. And just like you take authority over the sin you were brought out of, you got to take authority over the poverty that you were brought out of. When you first begin to recognize that you have struggled, I know most of you are rich and highly blessed and favored, but for the two or three that might be in here that are struggling, I'm gonna help you today. When we first begin to recognize that we're struggling with poverty, you have got to immediately confront that thing, because if you let it go unchallenged, it will rob you of your God-given right to provision. Because poverty has an in-your-face takeover spirit. I said poverty has an in-your-face takeover spirit. And if you don't arrest it, it is going to arrest you. It will talk you out of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. It'll talk you out of your hopes. It'll talk you out of your dreams. It'll talk you out of your children's education. Poverty, if you let it go unchecked, will talk until it leaves you hopelessly and helplessly trapped by your circumstances, to the point where you can get to the point where you don't even want to fight it anymore because you don't feel like there's no way out. And it doesn't help you when you surround yourself with people who see poverty as normal. Because when you surround yourself with people who accept something as normal, then you start accepting what they accept as normal. And to accept poverty as normal is an insult to the God who clothes the lilies of the field, the God whose eye is on the sparrow, the God who said, I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory, the God who said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. He is the God who said, my name is Jehovah Jireh, and I say it's Jehovah Jireh for a reason, because I am your provider. Now, I'm not saying that we won't go through financial struggles from time to time, but I am saying that we don't have to live in lack. Now, y'all can live there if you want to, but tell somebody, I refuse to live in lack. And that is really the attitude that the church overall has got to get a hold of, because for too many years we have lived in that state of lack, and the church as an overall has not grabbed a hold of that. And the reason the church hasn't is because the people that make up the church hasn't. And when you refuse to break your limitations, when you refuse to believe God for the provision that is rightfully yours in your personal life, then your limitations become our limitations as the church, because we can't do what we're called to do, because you won't do what you're called to do, which is to believe God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. It is time for us to take the limits off of God and understand that he is more than enough, not just for his house, but for your house and your children's house and your children's children's house. Forget all that stuff that says, well, God is just plain. He's pitiful. He's low-key. God is conservative. And because he's that way, I believe the church should be that way. No, that is not biblical. Tell your mama I said it, okay? That is not biblical. God is flashy. Think about it. He made the rose red. He made the grass green. He made the sky blue. If you want to know how flashy God is, think about Aaron's robe, all of the stones. He ain't cheap. Tell somebody God ain't cheap. Tell him he ain't broke either. You want to know a little bit about the personality of God. Look at Aaron's robe and all of the stones that he used on his robe. Look how he decorated heaven so lavishly with streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates. Look at Solomon's temple. It was so powerful that the Queen of Sheba lost her breath and fainted. People would come from everywhere to look at the temple. They would come to look at its furnishings. They would come to look at the foundations that were made out of costly stones and out of great stones. There were pillars, and there was brass, and there were pomegranates, and there were lilies, and there were tables of gold, and there were altars of gold, and there were candlesticks of gold. There were tongs of gold, not gold-plated, gold. There was bowls and snuffers and basins and censers and spoons, all of pure gold. It was so unbelievable that people would look at it, and it was breathtaking. Part of the witness that Solomon had the presence of God with him was that the blessing of God was on him. For when the presence of the Lord is on you, there is a blessing in your life that is evidence. Let me tell you that if you ever really get the revelation of the fine line between the vision and the provision, you will stop wandering as if you have no direction. What are you saying to us, Pastor Brady? I'm saying that if you don't see God after a while bringing some provision into your vision, then you might need to think about moving in another direction. Okay, stay there and struggle if you want to. I am saying that if you have a vision and it doesn't look like God is getting behind that, why don't you just humble yourself and say, that vision must not be of God? I am saying, why do you want to waste time yielding your strength into a vision that God is not blessing? Because if God orders something, I said, if God orders something, God is going to pay for everything that he orders. And if he ain't paying for it, it's a good indication that he might not be real interested in it. Ooh, I'm gonna help you. I promise I am. Because God pays for everything that God orders. It's like you today. You'll leave here, and if you go to a restaurant and you place your order, you are prepared to pay for what you ordered. But if they try to bring stuff on your bill that you didn't order, you'll be like, I ain't paying for that. I didn't order it. Well, God is the same way. And when you start bringing God stuff that God has ordered for your life, God is going to get behind you, and he is going to pay for it. And because he is more than enough, he might just give you a little tip on the side. When you make up in your mind to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, I'm going to add things to you. And he doesn't stop with adding them, because he's a God that multiplies too. He said, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplyings I will multiply thee. And if God ain't taking, if he ain't talking to you and me, who in the world is he talking to? He is talking to us. I will bless you, and I will multiply you. And many of us have seen and we've experienced a certain dimension of blessing, but it's almost as if for every blessing we've had a burden to bear. It's almost for every advantage that we make, there is an attack against us for that advantage. We are like a roller coaster, you know. We are like a roller coaster. One minute we're up, and the next minute we are down. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, sometimes that's normal. That's what happened to Job. Job went through all kinds of crisis. It's normal sometimes. Somebody say sometimes. Happened to Joseph as well. His daddy favored him so much that he gave him a coat of many colors. So he's up. And then he gets thrown into the pit. So now he's down. And then he gets out of the pit and he goes into Potiphar's house. So he's up again. And then Potiphar's wife lies on him. And now he's down into the prison. So it's up and down and up and down. But when that boy came up out of the prison, something happened in the life of Joseph that time. Because the Bible tells us he never went down another day in his life. Ooh, somebody holler, the ability for stability. Because God is stable. I said, God is stable. In Him there is no variableness, neither is there any shadow of turning. In God there is a place of permanent provision, because your God is not uncertain. He is not unsteady. He is not inconsistent. And He doesn't give you things and take them back. He is not an Indian giver. As a matter of fact, He said, my gifts and my callings are without repentance. Once I call you, I will never change my mind about calling you. Once I give you a gift, I ain't taking it from you, because God don't play like that. Your friends might, but your God does not. He don't play with your heart. He don't play with your emotions. He don't play with your mind. He wants you blessed. He wants you prospering, and He wants you fruitful. Does anybody believe that today? The very first thing that God spoke to Adam, He said, Adam, I want you to be fruitful. And the very minute that God told him to be fruitful was the very minute that God equipped him to be fruitful, because God would have never told him to do something had He not empowered him to do it. And the reason that Adam could be fruitful was because God was his daddy, and God and his daddy's DNA was locked up inside of him. And so if your God is fruitful, Adam, then you have every right to be fruitful, because God, the God in Adam, made Adam fruitful. See, if God, listen, if anytime God calls you to do something, the same God that calls you to do it will climb down inside of you, and He'll enable you to do everything that He's called you to do. And if He ain't enabling you, it is a good sign that He didn't call you to do it. Don't tell me you have been called to lead us in the song of the Lord in praise and worship, and you can't sing. Now y'all looking at me like y'all put me out there. But next time, well, let's put up somebody that really can't even carry a tune in a bucket. And y'all will be like, Lord. I didn't say you couldn't praise the Lord in a song. I said you just can't lead us in that song, because you can't sing. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. If God calls you to do something, He enables you to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. If God ever calls you, you don't need money. You don't need man's approval. You don't need nobody to support you. You don't need nobody to believe in you. You don't need nobody to help you, because God will get behind you, because when God says it is so, it is so. All you got to know is that God is with you. And if God is with you, no devil in hell can stop you, because He is the provider. Fighter, and He makes the provision. All I got to know is God is. If you ever find yourself in something that God is not in, get out of it as fast as you can. I said, get out of it. If you make a business decision and God is not in it, get out of it as fast as you can. Because if God ain't in something, I don't want to be in it either, because I need Him more than I need it. I can lose it, but I cannot lose Him. If I lose it, I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to rest in the fact that if I lost it, if I would have needed it, He'd have never let me lose it in the first place. So if I did lose it, that means He's got something better for me. So if the cookie crumbles, baby, pick it up and throw it in the trash and wait for God to give you a better cookie. Touch your neighbor, tell him, I'm waiting on something. I'm waiting. Hallelujah. Waiting on something. John chapter 15, the Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Why? So that you should go and bring forth fruit. Touch somebody and tell them, God wants me to be fruitful. That was the wrong neighbor. Tell another neighbor, God wants me to be fruitful. There are two different types of people in here today. There are people in here that don't believe a word of anything I'm saying. The sad thing is, until you do believe it, because it's not my word, it's His word, you will never come into that place that I'm preaching about today. And then there are others who are here and you believe it and you've even received the provision of the Lord in that place, but then you feel guilty for having it. And one of the reasons that we feel guilty is because people see the blessing on us and they really do get horrible attitudes when they see the blessing of the Lord on your life. And y'all know what I'm talking about. And what makes it more difficult is the worse their attitude gets, the more God blesses you. It's a truth, and it's kind of a bittersweet thing because the very ones that you want to be able to share it with are the very ones that are going to be the most unlikely to be happy for your blessing. So what you better do, and what I've learned to do, is to release yourself to enjoy your blessing with or without their approval. Because after a while, when you receive what God, when you won't receive all that God wants to give you, you become vulnerable to losing it. Many of you are in a new season and God is blessing you, but if you're not careful, you're going to lose it because you haven't really embraced it. You're expecting it to run out. You're expecting it to come to an end. You're putting your faith in the fact that this is just too good to be true. And anytime you are afraid to embrace good times, you will lose good times. Touch somebody and tell them, grab the good times. You need to do whatever you need to do to understand that God wants you to be blessed. If you got to tell yourself that 100 times a day and write it on a sticky note and put it on every glass, every mirror, do it to remind yourself, God wants me to be blessed. He wants me to be prosperous. He wants me to be fruitful. Poverty is part of the curse, and he bought me back out of that curse. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it would bring forth more fruit. He said, you are not bringing forth the kind of fruit. If you're not bringing any fruit, he said, I ain't fooling with you. If you're in me, he ain't talking to the sinners, he's talking to the church. He said, if you are in me and there is no fruit in your life, then I ain't even messing with you. You just do what you want to do. But every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, he said, I have got to purge it. He said, it's not that I want to take that level of blessing that you have away from you, but I got to cut you back, because even though you're happy with what you got, he said, this ain't even nothing to compare with what I'm wanting to do in your life, because the blessing that I'm about to give you is so much greater than the one that you've got your hands on. So sometimes I got to cut you loose from what you think is good so that I can give you something that is even better. So I don't know who I'm preaching to. I think I'm preaching to somebody right here. But I came to tell you, if you feel God is cutting on you, it's because he's got something better. Tell somebody it's better. It's something better. So in other words, don't get so comfortable with the blessing that you're not open to the exceeding greatness of God. In other words, don't get so hooked, children of Israel, on the garlic and the onions that I can't take you into the promised land. I dare somebody in this room to believe God, to do everything that he wants to do in your life. I dare you to stop settling for not enough when you serve the God who is more than enough. I dare you to move beyond the point where you're having to use all of your faith and all of your prayer life to believe God to pay your rent. There is another dimension in God. There is another place in God. There is another realm in God. There is a higher height and a deeper depth. There is more things that we need to be praying about than electric bills and gas money and car payment money and all of those kind of things. And if we would ever stop struggling like children with the issue of tithing, we might move into that place where God could bless us. It's time to settle the issue. It's time to put some things under our feet. I don't know about y'all. I'm ready to go to the next level. We got things to do. We got places to go. We got lost people to reach. We got hurting people that God has called us to help. And our assignment is too great for us to be stuck in a level of poverty spirit, dealing with the kind of spirit that our ancestors had to deal with. It's time for us to refuse to be sidetracked fighting our daddy's demons and our granddaddy's demons and our great-granddaddy's demons. No, if you're, I should have whipped some things that my grandchildren will never have to face, because I stood up to it and I said, you're not taking me out. You're not going to fight my house with that. And so I want my grandchildren to have to fight different fights. If you got to fight, fight something different. Whew. John 15 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But here's what I want you to get. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That's what glorifies God, when he sees much fruit in your life. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. He's saying that people are going to look at you, and then they're going to know who your daddy is based on the fruit that you are bearing. He said, I'm going to so bless you that nobody will be able to deny the fact that I am with you, I am on your side, and I am for you. Look throughout the entire Old Testament. God's people were blessed. God's people were bad. They were tough. They never had the reputation of being defeated. Even Rahab the harlot, hello, she looked at the men of God. She said, okay, look, I know what I am, but I'm going to tell you something. We know who you are too. We know all of the inhabitants of the land. They faint because of you. We've heard about your God, how he dried up the water at the Red Sea. We know what you did to the Amorite king. Our hearts are melting and our courage is gone, because the Lord your God, he is God above the heaven. He is God in the earth below. See, the only time that the people of God were defeated was when they were tied up in sin and when they were tied up in idolatry. But they didn't even stay there long, because they had sense enough to repent. And when they repented, God pulled them out of it. In other words, what are you saying? I'm saying it was not normal to be defeated. It was not normal for them to live in defeat. When they met defeat, their king would start rending and tearing his clothes off, saying, what is wrong? And that's what we ought to do. When we find ourselves facing defeat on a continual basis, you need to get mad enough to say, what in the world is going on in my life? But what do? We just accept it. But let me tell you, in case nobody has told you, you are not supposed to live a defeated life. Defeat is not supposed to be normal. That's why David was so insulted when he watched the armies of Israel running scared over Goliath. David just said, oh, you got to be crazy. He just went to kicking the ground, kicking the dirt, kicking up a fuss. And that's what some of y'all need to do. You need to just kick up a fuss and say, what in the world? You think you're going to get my children? You are a liar. You think you're going to get my money? You are a liar. Touch three people, tell them, kick up a fuss. Tell them, you ain't telling them with no passion. Because we are supposed to have victory. And if you don't have victory, then we need to do some homework, and we need to find out why we don't have the victory. Because we are chosen, we are special, we are different, we are blessed, and we are highly favored. And favor cannot always be explained, but favor is supposed to be enjoyed. And I don't know about y'all, but I enjoy knowing that God chose me, knowing that God favored me. He said, you did not choose me, I chose you, I ordained you, I appointed you, I committed to you, and I'm going to set you in a particular place where the blessing is going to overtake you. I did that for you. He told Ezekiel, he said, when I found you, Nobody had washed you. No eye had pitied you. You were drowning in your own blood. It was me. I'm the one that picked you up. I'm the one that washed you. I'm the one that salted you down. I preserved you. I am the one that said to you, live, 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 live. I am the one that chose you. I ordained you. I am the reason you are still here. I am the reason. And I want you to go forth and bring forth much fruit. And he said, and your fruit shall remain. He didn't let you live. He didn't let you come through everything you come through and survive everything that you survived so you could have fruit one day and none the next. He didn't let you go through all you went through so that you could have victory one day and defeat the next. So that you could have provision one day and poverty the next. He said, it's my will to stabilize you. It's my will to secure you. It's my will to steady you, to bring you into a place where whatever you have something that remains. You have something that is left over. And we cannot be using our prayer life just to have to believe God to be able to put gas in our car. I want us to be able to use our faith for things that money cannot buy, like miracles and like breakthroughs and like salvation for your household and like restoration for your marriage and your family, like liberation for people that are captive. Do you know how much more God could use you and be a witness through you? Do you understand how much more you could do and how much more you could help establish the kingdom of God if you weren't over here trying to use all your faith and all your power for little common day needs? How much better could your marriage be if you didn't have to fight over bills? See, I just believe that as the people of God, God has a better way for us. I believe God when he says he can supply all of my need. I believe him when he says whatever I lay my hands on is going to prosper. I believe God when he says that it is supposed to work. I believe that when God said he was going to give me fruit that remains, that I'm going to have something left over after I get my paycheck and pay my tithe and pay my bills. I believe that that's the fruit of my labor, and I ought to have something left. Have your way, Jesus. I'm in it to win it. You ought to be in it to win it. Everything you touch ought to get better by virtue of the fact that you touched it. Every company that you work for, every house you visit, every friend you have, you ought to make it better than it was in the way you found it. Somebody ought to shake off that poverty spirit. I'm supposed to be blessed.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, The Ability for Stability, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL-8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.